All right, so I'm the last poet for the night, so there you go. Thank you all for reading tonight. You were all amazing. Thanks to Jimmy and Joan and Don and Hemingway's, and tip your waitress. Always tip the waitress. Thank you. Sure thing. I highly recommend curating evenings of poetry. They're a good time, and you get to listen to people that you love to listen to. So I'm going to read a few poems. I've been writing a lot of poems lately for other poets. So these are a few of those. And the first one, oddly enough, is for Bart Slarczyk. So I'm glad he read tonight, so this poem actually makes some fucking sense. This is called Our Li Po for Bart Slarczyk. Sometimes a bear will growl, and poems erupt from its belly, hirsute and gorgeous. Sometimes a man just wants his pipe and a blank page. Often enough, sweet smoke rides a night breeze, cresting above the suburbs, inviting the attentions of a fucked up muse. Bart, you've been wrangling the wet reflection of a summer moon so long now, you've gone and grown a fine pair of ink-soaked gills. I'll wait here in the boat while you make one last dive for it. The morning news will say how a great grizzly was found on the ocean floor, furiously scribbling poems, the meat of all meanings stuck in his glowing teeth. This is for the poet Jason Irwin. Little guy, local guy, funny guy, often a drunk guy. This is called Acts of Contrition, and he was drunk at this time. It's true, he's a drinker, but he can't handle, he's a little guy. He's not here, so I can fuck with him. Otherwise, he'd probably kick my ass. So don't tell him. Don't cut that, Don. All right, here we go. Not that he's going to fucking listen to me. Here we go. Acts of Contrition. The bell tower burned down the same year my father busted his right wrist, chasing a wobbly foul ball right off the garage roof near Butler and 62nd. And the bells we hear this evening, chiming vespers, first rang closer to Cincy than Morningside Avenue. Nearer the whispering west than to these brown, choppy waters that take tugs in all the scrap they haul, concealing them in the shade of metal towers, like Washington in funeral regalia, who said, too much suffering is never a good thing for any city, his eyes falling tenderly across the scabby, wet knee of Millville. Broken out in blood and beer, and the warning we hear watching the bruised hands of Max Ovanka in prayer. And just as it took only one good day for James Wright to declare the impossibility of death, so this one good shot of whiskey absolves us of the burden of our days. As you become a shadow fallen across the still surface of your glass, happy to risk the undertow, foolishly assured I or some good stranger here is strong enough to carry you across should your will give out. This is for the poet Albert Hufstickler. Absolutely. This is called A River for Huff. I think of you often when the coffee is still hot, and though this cup is chipped and the country itself gone to hell, I do believe poets belong everywhere and can do some good. I believe the needle stuck in every heart stems from the words first sharpened by poets in small, doorless rooms. You say you are only looking for a way out, mistaking your pen for a key. I say we never make mistakes. Today, my wife has left me with a pot of the dark stuff, two cats, and a bottomless ache. She asked for the river, and so the river is here. In winter, we watch its stillness from the window. Have you ever seen a frozen river from this distance, Huff? It's the spike readying to strike the silence in your chest. It's the first word to pierce the heart, the first good thing every day. I'm going to fall over that. This is for the poet C.K. Williams. Long lines, so that's why it's for C.K. Williams. Yeah, very, like crazy. This is called Distraction. Charlie, forgive me, for I am distracted. In the peculiar wolfish light of your poems has been refracted by my moony frame of mind. My inattention to the minuscule detail daubed into the grain of the page, well, I'll compare it laughably to Hamlet's inability to kill a king, to the howling winds of Elsinore Keep, to the brazen windy farts of an off, very off-Broadway audience, say the Bowery, say Fayette County. The rain purling at the window in the pliant, resigned muse of a white cat in a denim lap. Wage a hushed war, conscripting my wife's arsenal of potted plants and the relentless sizzling explosions strafing the skillet under her expert hand. And the lovely red rain of spices that glimmer down into the wide black eye of the dinner pan. The peppery aroma, redolent of her humid breath in the late summer nights in Baltimore when the curtains were left lashed and the neighbor across the way got a good look at our shared red skin. Charlie, let's pinky swear someday to share a summer solstice. Hold it between us like a document, the terms of my surrender, bold as the signature of a founding father. Your words, measured as a tailor's tape, no longer groping at the smooth face of my negligence. My dreams, no longer of Anna, but of those lesser vagaries of art. I write a lot about my wife. She's here. Pretend you dig it. So this is called The Lie, and I wrote this for my buddy John Grahalski, who runs a kind of blog magazine online called Wine Drunk Sidewalk, which used to be a kind of open notebook of his own work, which this year, because of what happened in the election and who's fucking around in the White House, is now an open-source journal of people's responses to Trump and the political situation and just the fucked-upness of everything. It's been a long day. This is called The Lie. Here's where the wind wrapped its 100-strong fingers around the throat of her grandfather's pin oak and ripped it from the Ohio clay. Where the roof of the house buckled beneath the forced embrace. It's Independence Day, or very close to, and the damage brings tears to my eyes. The milk-white sky in this small yard, prowling with crows, pay no mind. It all just goes on. The laughter inside the house, it sounds brave from this distance. Nothing like the sound of the world holding its breath. Maybe the mosquito crawling up my hand is the right companion. Maybe this sun getting hotter by the minute has something to say, if only I just listen. It's possible that these days will pass, like all the others, with only us taking notice. Everything my eye falls upon, I couldn't care less. My eye lacks the resolve of an early summer storm. All I do is watch and hope for the best. This is the lie I try to believe. So one of my all-time favorite poets is Frank O'Hara. Megan read a poem for him earlier, and I'm going to do one right now. Thank you all for listening. It's been a fantastic night. I've had a lot of fun. Like I said, it was a long, long day. It's been a long year, so these events actually do a lot for me personally, and I think they do a lot for a lot of us. Bridge series tomorrow night. This is called Never Let Go. It's for Frank O'Hara. But really, it's for my wife. Amazing how tired I am, 3 p.m. a Thursday. People keep talking to me unsolicited, and the bar across the street is owned by a Republican draft dodger. There's no relief to be found. How did you do it? All that energy and enthusiasm. If I didn't need the paycheck, I'd never leave the house. Last night, we had drinks with my favorite poets. Oh, these guys. Today, it doesn't seem to matter. For no good reason, I find myself thinking about Balanchine. And then I'm wondering what Sun Ra is up to. I know they say he's dead, but come on. How could death hold purchase on that man? I'm thinking of the time I watched my wife swimming off the North Carolina coast, my feet in the soft, relentless surf. Out there, at the end of the earth, the sun would eventually set. But right then, it was like the sun and myself would just go on forever. The sound of her in the tide. A reason to never let go. Thanks a lot for coming out tonight.